ready for Everett Smith this Friday, the 9th of April 1971, Good Friday, supper time. This is Channel 2 Right, and I'm getting ready for Everett this Friday night for supper, the 9th of April 1971, Channel 2 Right.
Some of the people coming down, and you going to ride back with them, or you going to catch
the plane? Yes, I'm going to fly.
Oh, you going to fly?
Yeah, they come down in the plane. They have a plane over at Crescent Beach.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, I'm going to get your seat right now. And
you fine.
Get yours. I just have a seat, I think, but I said we just could sit down and wait for her to come. Bring it one at a time.
Now, there's no blood in that.
Fine.
Oh yeah, that's he's the one that don't.
I don't like it rare or medium. My brother likes it though.
Oh yes.
He likes it what you call rare, I guess. Juice and water on the run on the plate, but I never did care for
it. Oh, you know how it is. I can't eat it that way. I don't like to see the blood. But I think my family.
Don't go. Don't wait, Everett. Go ahead.
Well, I thought you'd have it. She has it now. I didn't have the blessing. And, let me
all right.
Again. Let me ask you. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we again thank you for the privilege of being here and having this fellowship one with another and enjoying this food. Bless this food to the body. Bless the one that prepared it. Bless all whom we should care for and pray for this day. And we'll give the honor and praise to thee. In Christ's name we ask this.
Yes, and so you haven't left yet for your work.
No, ma'am. My brother wanted me to take one of the cars and go over there. You know, this
you'd rather have a steak knife. I'll
and
get you one.
This is fine. This is a steak knife, yeah.
That's
But he was going to let me know, in other words, but I have a night. It's going to be around the 15th, so that'll be another week. Just the cool weather and the rains and everything delayed it.
Delayed.
Then they had some frost and bit them down and they had to come back. And what you're worried about now is a yield. In other words, South Florida, they're not getting any yield. And he wants to get a yield. If they don't get the yield, well, they can't make any money.
Yield of what is it now?
Potatoes, iced potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Spuds.
They don't afraid they're not gonna have a big yield.
That's right. They had only 30% down in South Florida, and so if they don't have but 30%, he's gonna be hurting. So this costs lots of money to spray it, fertilize them.
Yes.
Well, what cut them down? The weather?
That's right. Dry weather in South Florida.
Yeah.
You know they haven't had any rain until that rain hit the other day.
Oh, that's why they had the drought.
And to tell me, in other words, that they won't make one water barrel on 10 acres down there. Said they ought to bring some money up here. People can come through with them now. But I said, well, they can plant over and have them before they can here.
Yeah.
Have some vegetables, sir. And here's some just pure baked bread.
That meat's delicious.
Yes.
How's the flour?
Steak is right good.
Do you say you'll be?
No.
No, you don't butcher your own.
Do you have that?
Yes, right here.
What you working with? That a coffee?
Yeah, coffee.
I haven't had any coffee. This is all day. I ordered this.
Well, come on, eat the steak. We'll get the coffee to man when you get it started. You about ready to plug it up?
Okay, I'll just let you have your lettuce like you will. Now look at that.
I'm cutting
he
up a little.
He don't tie it up.
Yes, I'm cutting up a little.
What would you like with this? Would you like some salt?
No, I want a little salt. Do you have
yes,
little
sir.
Salt?
I never get things salt in
there. I put
it.
This
is not good for you, but I like salt. Working person, I need salt to say, so I work.
A working man.
Oh,
brother had one of his jobs, there's no work in it. Like I'm telling you. He doesn't have a job in work. He's with that detective bunch. He ain't with the boat. I guess Willie told you he was up there, didn't he? Well, you know Willie was up there. University.
What'd you do?
Well, I called a guard, a detective, something. Checked the building over when they break in.
Or at night?
Mm-hmm. They go to work at 5 o'clock in the evening.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah.
I got him a job, they wanted me back.
Well, how come he working at night? You like working at night?
No, sir, I don't like it. My brother had a shift, but they changed him back. No, he had the afternoon. He go to work at 4 in the afternoon.
Well, you know, people do the most peculiar things. I never figured Willie Titty would work at night.
I didn't either. I told him about the job, and I told him that's the reason I didn't want it. And I said, the main thing is, I didn't like the job and at night. And the pay wasn't any, you know, about half of what I was making before when I was up there. Started him off about 3,800, something like that.
Now, where did you start off?
Then you got to wait. You got to wait 6 months before
you
get a raise.
Do you want some plain gravy?
No, ma'am, I don't believe I do.
Juice? Well, put it back over there. It's not gravy, it's just real juice.
But he liked it, and he's some. There's no work in it, though. Just like my brother, he's guarding down that floor. There's no work in that. Well, this best group.
Well, let me see.
But I may get back with some Cunha a little later on, but maybe the fall now, because when I get through there, I'm going to have to come back and start with that hay bale again, I guess. But they ordered the Powell takeoff, and they have it, and he's billing me for it. But another man was going to take it, but he never did take it. That fellow Crumb, it runs with some kind of politics down at Bellevue. You know a fellow by the name of Crumb that's in politics, Bellevue?
Mm-mm. That's out of my territory.
He runs a conveyor belt and haul this citrus pup, you know, and they dump it in loose in on the bins and all. See, the junior's going to, you know, let him haul feed for pay. And his wife put on the bill and said, this should have billed Everett Smith for this until the senior junior Smith. So he sent me one every week, every month, I mean. First every month I get one. It's up there laying on the floor, brand new. One of heavy duty. That lightning boy, he got one for his.
Now, Everett, tell me now about your baler. You've got one of those good Alice Chalmers balers.
New Holland 271 is a series.
Yeah.
It's a big one, you know.
That's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you get that brand new?
Well, it's been used 2000, as I told you, 2000 bales.
At
the university.
You got it from the university.
Yeah, $3,000, but I think the thing costs about $3,600, $3,800.
And you still paid $3,000 for it?
I still paid $3,000 for it.
Well, old Joe, what's his name?
Farmer.
He had to have part of that.
He didn't. I saw he didn't get in. I was what he allowed, told him he going to allow them on trading in and get some more equipment. They got a forage hopper. They quit, you know, messing with it because they didn't have anybody and you had sense enough up there to bale hay.
Oh, they didn't.
But I helped them 2 years, then I turned it over to Cedric Stokes. You know Cedric Stokes? He's had it ever since. Williston.
No,
Cedric Stokes.
I know Jack Stokes.
Well, it's Jack's brother.
Yeah.
Jack works up there with a sheep man.
Is he crooked to Jack?
Yeah, just about it. He will work a little more, Jack.
Yeah. Jack's one of the first fellows I knew when I came down here.
See, he bought a bull from me a couple, 3 years ago. Told me to turn him loose, and I put him loose, and I said, I'd bum the bull, I'd kill the bull, I'd throw him over the fence. You know, he'd get out of the way, he might want to play with him, he said.
Well, what does Cedric do?
He farm. He got a bale or two. That's the reason he goes up and works the hay deal for him every year now.
Well, he works for the hay deal now,
mm-hmm.
Bob.
He's been there two or three years.
Well, what
I haven't been up there working on the hay deal since I got the bale.
what's in it?
Well, that's what it is. Now, well, they want you to do too much, no work. You can't make anything with them people. Of course, university, they want you to do it below the nest.
They do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The price, now, well, they have a set price, in other words, say, 30 or 35 cents a bale.
Yeah.
Cut it, dry it, rig it. And on top of that, they want you to take it and haul it and put it in the barn for 35 cents.
Yeah.
And then, well, we wouldn't pay them but a nickel, but now then you're costing 12 cents now to get it in the barn. I paid 12 cents last year.
And you're lucky to get it in the barn? You get it in for 12 cents,
mm-hmm.
Don't you?
Right.
You're lucky to find somebody to do it.
Right.
Hmm. All right, and you use your equipment?
That's right. Yeah, I cut it, and dry it, and rake it, and bale it.
You.
And it cost me 12 cents on top of it, and this twine, you know, cost you about $8, you know, getting it through the Farm Bureau or whatever.
Well, why would they contract for that? Looks like they'd do it themselves. They got all the rest of the
They didn't have anybody that knows how to handle the stuff. That's the reason you got shed of the bale. They want to get it done for nothing. That's the dumbest bunch I've ever seen in my life up there. You haven't been around in the farm through and see what they're doing.
I used to go around there all the time. But I haven't been over there in a long time. When I went over there, they just had a bunch of one-horse farmers that couldn't make a living out in the country and come over there and work.
I was telling you about the other day, and I was about that doctor and was using this equipment, you know, university out there with his 200 acres and got in good shape.
Yeah.
And the color boy working. I believe I told you about that.
Yeah, we talked about it.
I said, the other day I was up there, I had a little time, since we were talking. And I pulled by the shop, you know, the back gate was open over on 34th Street, and I said, well, that's where I used to come out. And they made me go by that shop there, you know, and punch that clock. But I cut that out. I was out of my way going through and all that crowd of people, you know, and I just going 34th Street and just keep on batting across the highway up there, and going in the hay there in a little while,
yeah,
about 10 miles.
Yeah.
So I pulled up there, and I pulled into the shop. And you know what they do? I knew one of the fellows in there. They're building all kind of bodies and stuff for themselves, personally, with the shop equipment.
Yeah.
And they're using a rod, you know, and that welding rod, you know, it costs $1 a stick,
yeah,
in other words.
Yeah.
You know, if you know anything about price and stuff.
One of those,
and they're building it for themselves.
One.
And that boy told me he'd done sold 3 or 4 of them. And he's making 1 or 2 more.
You know, I used to know a fella up at the beef unit, and I forget his name, but he was one of the finest fellas I ever knew.
Beef
unit. Beef research unit. And,
Were you a foreman or?
No, he wasn't a foreman. His name comes to me. And, he made me a trailer, and I've still got it. I think it's nowhere out. It's indestructible. He got a friend of his had some wheels, and he framed it. It's right out there now. The only trouble is it's so big. I don't have anything to pull it with.
It's a heavy duty.
Yeah.
Heavy duty pal.
Yeah.
We could carry something like one of the hammer mills like Lightning had on his, I imagine, on that thing. That thing can carry, you know, 5, 6, 8 tons, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
What's the heavy duty trail?
I ought to just let somebody have it and pick up a little lighter one for my use. Well, what's your idea, Everett, on your baler? You don't want to use the motor anymore?
No, it uses gas, and I got the live tickle. I usually put it with it most of the time anyhow. Have to, in other words, if I load the wagon behind it. I got one of those elevators, you know, one man stand on the wagon, and one man can stack, you know, 60 or 80 bales.
Yeah.
And hook from another wagon, and you take a tractor or a pickup truck and carry it on the barn while I'm loading over. And I'll have it loaded before we get back if we don't hurry.
Yeah.
Well, it'll bale, you can bale some of this. I'm baling, you know, 1,000, 1,500 bales in the afternoon.
Yeah.
But the gas, oil, can filter, spark plug, and I first got that bill.
It's just like having
the air cool. It's like a lawnmower. If you ever having to deal with a lawnmower, every year when you put it on the shed, you know, when you start the next summer, if you ever had one, yeah. I had one. If I got you it last year, I guess it was, I had one of your tow rolls. Self pulled, you know, and nice solid all on the handlebar.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be the same way. The valve gets stuck. In the gasket, buy them wholesale, White Electric or Lovell Brother, and get Eric White or someone to come over and help me with it, and give him $8 or $10, and the gasket cost $8 or $10, and I had to do that every year.
Yeah.
Man said, why don't you go out there once in a while and crank it up?
Yes.
I said, well, the person don't have time to do all that, just like your lawnmower. Why don't you go out there and get it out and crank it up every once in a while? Well, he got something else to do.
That's right.
We're good.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, it's like a fella gets so many old motors around the house, he can't get around to it and get battery water in it. In them.
Well, I've got a battery in it. I had to charge the battery the other day with it.
Yeah.
You know, I brush the points on the thing. With a piece of sandpaper.
Yeah.
Taking them out. They're down in that cup, in other words. You know how it is on a car, well, that thing. Same with a car.
Now, you don't have
I'm taking it out with a screwdriver, in other words. Mm-hmm. Taking the screws out on the three screws. Then I take the piece of sandpaper and run through them points and put it back in there. Then I caught the flywheel in my hand, you know, turned it over to see if it was breaking all right, and it was. Then I put it back together, put it back up, and mash the starter one time. And that thing fired up and run like a brand new. That's what my boy said. That's the reason I hate you get said that. I really like that thing.
Yeah.
He said, I'm pull it with my tractor, pull it with that M farm oil tractor, pull it with his, an 8 mile. But my tractor got a lot of takeoff, it's so.
Well, Evan, when you make hay out there, help your neighbors out like that, what do you get out of that?
Well, either they cut it down.
Yeah.
And I come and rake it and bale it.
Yeah.
I get 20 cents a bale. They cut it down.
And then they haul it.
Then they haul it, right.
Well, that you still give them their money's worth.
I thought they get their money's worth. As I told her, I said, that girl, I did it because she's a widow woman, and she needs all the help she could, and I can make expenses, in other words, at 20 cents.
Well, you wouldn't get rich at it, would you?
But she's working in the lunchroom and drove a school bus several years, and so docket, one or two of them, I think, whipped her. She couldn't stand that.
Run out.
So she quit riding the scoop bus.
If it rained on the hay, and you got to handle it again, you can't come out.
No. Well, if it does that, well, then they got to fluff it. I'll make them fluff it, and I'll rake it again. But they got to fluff it and dry it. You got one of them fluffing machines. You've seen them things that rotary.
They do the work, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
How long they been in this country?
About 3 or 4 years.
Well, how come it takes long to get here?
I don't know. They had them across the water. This is a foreign made outfit, and that Lightning Boy got one made over there somewhere in a different country.
Yeah.
But now they're using Cedar Junior bought one of those new machines. They cost about $4,000 or $5,000. They call it a hay bind. It cuts it and a rubber roller dries it. When you use a wind roller, it'll even leave it flat. We found, you know, with a moisture and all having around it, best to not wind roller, it'll leave it flat. But that crimps the stem, though, when it'll dry, you know, half the time. They will, you know, just cut with a sickle mower.
He really put some money in that equipment.
But Cedar Jr. bought a brand new one, and I was the first one to drive it. Mm-hmm. He said, you ever drove one of these things before? Oh, yeah, the first one when they made out, they hadn't been out for 2 years. This millionaire over here at the Pine Acre Ranch bought one.
Bedford.
He bought one,
yeah.
And I drove it.
Yeah.
And we cut out a tour. I cut 70 or 80 acres out of clover.
Yeah.
And it could sow, you know, 1,000 acres they'd have. People come in trucks and got it, you know, fast and we'd cure it and bait.
Out of the field? Is that
and
right?
You got $5 to $10 a ton more than you can get for hay, you know.
Yeah.
Horse people. Horse farm.
Yeah.
Local people.
And they'd come over there themselves and get it.
Come and get it. One of those trainers down there, a fellow Johnson, has just bought a piece of property there. I believe his name's Johnson. That don't seem like his name either. Anyway, he had GP to let his men haul it, in other words, and he paid them, you know, 12 cents a mile, just haul it. Hadn't have to haul it about a mile and a half. So they made some good money hauling that out of soul.
Yeah.
Old James Brown made enough to buy a new international truck that year.
He worked for the GP?
You know James Brown, the colored man?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He worked with him. He's blocked way, you know, off season. Blade block.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He make $20 to $40 a day, you know, laying block.
I didn't know.
Daytime, where he takes these trucks, in other words, and gets them some men, though. And they grow some, about $100,000 worth of hay a year over at that ranch.
So he gets the men in, he pays them, and gets the men in there he can depend on. Well, I didn't know he did that. How long has he been doing that? The ones I knew when I used to go over there every now and then, he just using just common labor.
Well, this man here, he got.
I was over there.
He's been with him, I know, about 3 years, because I worked over there nearly a year.
I don't know, Faye.
That's where I run that hay barn, because paid me about 50 cents an hour more than what he's paying him blocking.
Just
over.
Unplug it. Just unplug it.
I don't know what it is now.
Well, just unplug it and take my word for it and sit down.
In other words, he paid me $2 an hour, and he's paying them, I think, $1.40 an hour. He paid me $2 an hour, and that's what I drove, and that's what I told the City Union.
Yeah.
That I knew how to drive on. And he's wanting to adjust it and set it, you know, to set the bar, in other words, but it's like a mowing machine, in other words. We got to adjust it until that blade and them knives, you know, guard up, or keep them flat according to your land, how you want to mow your hay.
Well?
But some of them told him, see, the junior said, you can't tell him anything. Said, he done forgot more than you ever learned about one of them things. Even though I ain't messed with him, you know, just 1 year. But I didn't say anything to him because he's younger than I was, no, and I didn't want to let him know, you know, I bossed him, I'm smart, because he's the one that, you know, bought the machine.
That's right. The man that puts out the money ought to be able to talk every night, then, ought to.
That's what I told Dr. Hinchy up here.
What'd you tell Dr. Hinchy? Oh, about Cedric?
Yeah, I told him. Cedric made me mad a time or two, and I told him that I'd get my pickup and go back to the house.
Yeah.
I said, I didn't ask for a job. You asked me to come and run this machine for you. Which you did.
Like, well,
maybe. Man with haste, in other words. He don't bother me. He knows I know how to run the business.
Well,
I go out and run the business for him.
Yeah. But I tell you, you know, I've thought about that since you was over here. Cedric got... He maybe know as that much as that man in Hasty, and he's got all that money tied up, and it might make him nervous, you see.
That's true, too.
So, if he make you nervous, won't he?
Yes, sir.
If he gets nervous, it'll make you nervous.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know. Well, that's what happened.
I went
down to Citrus Pup the other day. Went down and got another little ton of Citrus Pup. I'd win that Thursday. We'll call him. And said, well, yeah, bring your bag and you'll get, you know, a ton of pup.
Yeah.
Got down there, well, they didn't have it.
Uh-oh.
They had it in their own bag, no, but that cost you, you know, money. And I told Ed, I said, well, that's it. They make mistakes. Then they started, they done made a mistake. They loading truck bucks and made a mistake of 100 bags on one truck, one semi.
Yeah.
And that's when they got a lot of bosses just like up at the university.
Oh.
And that made them mad, and the oil stock were getting on that superintendent of the of the mill, you know, with the pulp mill. Jack, little short young fella, wear the hard hat. You see the fella with the hard hat. They supposed to be, you know, kind of strike foreman or something.
Oh.
And that's when he got mad and said he'd quit. He'd leave. He didn't have to work here. He'd find a job. He knew he'd get a job. But I said, it wasn't your fault, Jack. As a man had been running the thing now for 4 years, he's the one in other words that held responsible. It wasn't you. That man had a job now. That's the first mistake he'd ever made. And everybody's subject to mistake, but how come Earl Stock getting on to you? That's you. You know Earl Stock? Head of the thing?
No.
If you've met him, well, you know how he is.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Now, what did they do? They make it?
Yeah. They make it, dry it, and all. But that buck man, though, was getting all that something that hadn't been. We couldn't get it and had to get in the bag. In other words, had our bags in the pickup out there and brought them back home.
Right.
I had to pay that extra money for it.
Well?
But they wound up, in other words, and I said, I don't know, I might have said this before. About the Rattlesnake song. You haven't heard it, it's the number hit. If you turn on the radio or TV, if you listen that much. It's number one. It's a religious talking. It's not a song, it's a talking outfit. Well, the boy went to this old timey church, you know, made back in a year to go in there and playing the music. And they had these rattlesnakes that all got the spirit, got in the spirit. And they came and about scared them to death and said, I was scared to death. And they thought I was in the spirit and they brought me one. But he said, I wasn't bashful or timid. He said, what didn't have but fire. And the girl that was there with him, you know, singing, I guess, said, I looked at her and she's just about 20 seconds of falling, hitting the floor. And I told her, look around and see where the back door was. She says, I already have them. There ain't none. And he said, reckon where they want one. And she's fixing to fall, in other words, and he says, now, take it easy, take it easy, don't panic. And that's the word that I was going to say a minute ago. That old saying is, I told that boy down there, Jack, I said, you heard this song? He said, oh, yeah. I said, well, that's coming out now. And everybody gets mad or riled up, like you say, about wanting to lose money or something.
Yeah.
Just tell them, in other words, remember that Rattlesnake song, take it easy, don't panic, because that doesn't do any good, which it doesn't.
Well, now, is that a pretty big operation down there, that Citrus Spoke
Oh,
place?
Yes, sir.
At Ocala?
Mm-hmm.
They got a lot of things at Ocala, haven't they?
They should have.
Now, you go down there and haul it yourself, and how much you have to pay for it? How much you have to get it for?
Well, to see it, I'm a smith, too.
Yeah.
I'm an office girl, you know, in the thing I got him with her, in other words, and I get it like Cedric did, you know, he buys, you know, 100 to 300 tons maybe,
yeah,
a year, you see.
Yeah.
And I don't buy too much like they said. If we'd have bought, you know, bought a buck and had a barn or something to put it in, we'd save that extra money.
Yeah.
And we'd have it and wouldn't have to, you know, go down and buy it in that bag, you know, wasn't in the sack, you know, the rats eat them, and the
yeah.
bags are no good to hold around.
I didn't think
but,
rats
eat. Yeah, he said, don't say anything about it, because it said these other people here, they won't like it. And I said, no, I don't tell you anything about business, no way. And we buying it for $2, and they sell it for $3 or $3.25.
You buying it for $2?
A little over $2.
$2?
And you buy it anywhere else, it costs $3.
That's $40?
Mm-hmm.
Do they use snap corn anymore?
Yeah, when you get it. I had some, you know, off my 25 acres, and I kept a ton.
Yeah.
From C.D. Jr. sold him the rest of it, in other words.
Oh.
And I've been mixing a little bit of heifer, in other
words. But it's hard to snap corn anymore. They mix so much stuff with it, don't they?
But the feed, C.D. Jr., he mixed other stuff with it, that's right. But down there, they don't have any snap corn. Everything is orange peels and the seeds and the puff.
Yeah.
They're cooked, dried.
Yeah. What is this? What is this?
But it's 6% protein, and you mix a little cottonseed meal in, like Ed had been doing.
Yeah.
It's 41, and it's a cheaper feed you can get. You can't buy any ready mixed feed. You know, less than about $4 on maybe.
No, it's all high now, way up there. this Seminole doesn't sell any snap corn.
No.
Oh,
they used to have a mill and snap it, boil it,
All
that, put it.
All they sell is that
ready mixed feed.
Ready mixed feed. Got corn in it.
And it's hot. That's Seminole special. I believe they said it. Seems like it's right at $4. by the ton lot, if you buy just one or two bags,
yeah,
like everything else, it runs you an extra quarter, 50 cents.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Well, that's.
But some will sell this sister pup just like from Libby. They buy it and put it in the warehouse and they sell it too, you know.
Yeah.
And that's when they make the profit, see?
Yeah.
They got to have at least right around $1 a bag profit.
That much?
But Ayer said, I told Ayer, don't say anything about what we're paying this stuff now.
I didn't think they'd get that much just for handling it.
Yes, they do. Because I know as big as they ought to sell a lot of it. They ought to sell as much or more than Cedar Junior uses up on them.
Well, you see, the little fella just wants a little bit. He can't go down that at the sister's plant. He got to get it to Seminole or somebody.
I try to get something. Well,
so he pays for it, doesn't he?
Well, unless you know what you're doing, you know, just like Willie, he went down that new truck ahead and put a ton on there.
Yes.
Yeah, and Willie got the same price as I did.
Yeah.
Will it here?
For them old wood scouts of his.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
Will they eat the citrus?
I told them they ought to sell some of that timber, clean up a man back there if he's going to have pasture in the land.
Well, is he going to? 100
some odd acres. Yeah, hold on to it.
Is he going to clean up some of it?
No.
Willie talks about doing things, but he don't seem to get around to doing it
mm-hmm.
all.
That's where all them boys are. His older brother the same way.
Who's his older brother?
Martin? He's older. No, Martin younger than Willie looks. Or Martin 2 years younger than Willie.
Who's his older brother?
Sister's oldest. Willie's oldest boy.
Yeah.
And Frankie's staying with his mother now. He looks older than Willie. He's about 47.
Yeah, but
and Frankie.
But Frankie's well preserved.
Oh, yeah. He don't want to do too much. His mama, you know, would take care of him with her. Little check and one thing or another, buy the gas to come to the store, he and his sister.
Yeah. I was down there one time, stopped by there, and Frankie was out in the pasture there at his house. And he is all set up to spray. And he's using the same chemicals that the boss man used.
Albert, is that Ralph?
Albert.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a whole lot of that centipede
mm-hmm.
out there in his rib, and he was just poisoning that there, just about to drown it.
On a good way.
Yeah, and he said, "There's some spots here, Frank. It looks like your behavior's a little thin." He says, "Well, I'm not rich like you are. I can't buy fertilizer." And I thought to myself, if he ain't rich like I am, he got to buy fertilizer.
That's right. Well, that thing I tell you about that little magazine.
Yeah.
You got to put down to pick up. Have you heard that saying? If you don't put down, you're not going to pick up anything.
Yeah.
He got too many cows when he passed it. He don't take care of it.
Yeah.
He planned his ride and didn't put no soda or top dress or nothing on it. That's how I defeat road. I said, Frankie, you might as well give it to him out of the bag.
Yeah.
You got to... I told him that sure as well.
Yeah. Frank came up here and I had 3 or 4 blocks of salt under the dead there. You know, it's awful easy to run out of salt. Sometimes seasons of the year, the cows seem to just...
Thrive on it.
Just like all their suckers. And he saw all those suckers and he says, there's a rich man buying all these blocks of salt. He says, I bought one block and had to cut it in two.
That's him. He lives there. That's him.
Well, now, you see, I never know what he's telling the truth or not. He don't do
that's
that,
right.
Does he?
Well, that's about right. Yes, sir. Any child, he doesn't take care of him. I hate to see him, you know, look like they have to have props on him to hold him up.
Yeah.
And he saves his paper instead of selling a calf of it. He wants to save some more. And you see the little field, he hasn't got but about 30 or 40 acres there.
That all he got?
And he must have, I'd say, 40, 50 head of cattle on that little place.
Yeah, and no fertilizer.
No fertilizer on that, but he got a good crop of the hay.
And no hay.
No hay. He buys it on credit, and he's still old for the hay. I like the boy, said, your old man told me he's going to give me a calf. He said, how about hauling it? I said, yeah, and you go down there with me, I'll go down and haul it. But I'm not going down and asking, where's that calf you're from, GP? He get mad. I said, but I go down in my pickup, I already have the side door and haul the yearling for you.
Oh, he buy hay from GP?
Yeah.
Well, I thought just the rich people did that. GP?
He had to have something to keep the cow from starting to death.
Well, GP did
and
that.
And he let him have it. He's just good hearted.
Just having him out.
Yeah, he said, I'm good Methodist, in other words. And he says, Frank is one of your good Baptists, in other words. And I decided to help my neighbor out, so
yeah.
He let him have, you know, a load of hay. He's not having it yet.
Yeah. Well, what does Frankie do best at?
I imagine mowing. Driving that tractor and mowing is about the best thing
he
can do.
Oh, that, Mr. Albert.
You got a way to do that. Albert don't want to pull the gas down over halfway. But Frankie, he'll change gears, you know, and it suits him to go slow. It's all right.
He don't care.
No. Put it in lower gear, in other words, and the gas half open, you know, a tractor, it don't pull unless you know, let the rev turn up, in other words, RPM.
Yeah.
You got a gun on there, and it's supposed to pull the bottle down. I do bailing that hay. They got to have it up, you know, to turn 1,800 revolutions a minute. You got to pull the throttle wide open.
Don't you ever hit a block or old pine, lighter pine or something?
That's when you throw your clutch out of gear, and I just hope it, you know, the knives don't catch it just right and break one of them, because they don't cost about $30 a piece. The knives in there.
Yeah, and then it takes you a while to...
I broke one on Jippies. Where was that at? Over on a Macintosh on the Floyd Huff's Hill, they call it.
Yeah.
I picked up a live oak limb. And that reel, you know, throw that thing right on in. I use that, you know, you kick it out and it'll keep kicking, in other words.
Yeah.
You see it, in other words. And if you don't kick it out of the way, you can just throw it out of gear and get down and pick it out of the way.
Yeah,
yeah.
But once it gets
gets over that hump and gets in that chamber, then that thing caught it, in other words, and sheared it, in other words, and busted the other timing chain underneath, and it got the knot of tying out of the way. Well, the whole thing was out of whack.
Yeah.
And, I didn't know what to do. Well, I had my pickup, in other words, and I come down to that farmer boy. And he said, well, call him. I called him, and GP said, well, just well, good old cow. And I get another blade and get that other farmer boy drinks that beer and coffee all the time. What's his name? McIntosh.
Jarhead,
that's right.
Yeah.
I had the coffee. I thought I smelled it.
What happened to coffee, man?
Yeah. I thought I smelled it.
Yeah.
Did you smell it? You made it, didn't you?
No, I've been thinking about that bill.
No, I didn't care for it. I'm not much of a salad either.
Well, that's
did you try any of it?
No, I tried. That's a little different than that other, I guess.
Yeah.
That's
right.
A fruit salad, wasn't it? What is that?
A little different. That's got pineapple in it.
Well,
it has pineapple.
I don't like pineapple.
You don't like
it?
No,
that's it.
Well, let me tell you. Just take a little taste.
You just don't want that taste.
But I try it, but pineapple don't agree with me too much.
Oh, I don't agree with you.
Well,
that's right.
Well, Faye, what'd you put pineapple in for?
She didn't know it.
Yes, I thought you just meant to taste. If it doesn't agree with you, then you don't want to eat it.
But it's good. The other day was good. That Jell-O, I ate it with a lettuce. But I'm not too much for Jell-O or salad.
Salad. And dessert? You didn't eat in dessert the other night.
Yeah,
I mean, you didn't eat in the cake.
I had ice cream, though.
Yeah, you know.
But that dessert business is,
it
puts a pound on you.
Yeah.
And it's getting summertime now, and I don't want to get to 170 or 75 pounds like I was once before.
Yeah, it cuts you down.
You're liable to have a stroke.
Yeah.
And so many young people now having heart attacks and all.
Yeah.
I think that old, my recollection of haymaking, Everett, I can't remember just how we used to make it. We used to make it all the time, and we weren't self-propelled, or didn't pull it around. We brought the hay to the mower, didn't we? To the baler, didn't
That's
we?
That's right.
Well, now that was a good system, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
It didn't cost anything.
That's fine.
And you can just use
it on shocks and pull it up there to a mule or horse or mule, you know, and feed it to the bear. Just like you do the peanut.
Yeah.
Done the peanut same way.
Yeah.
Peanuts, you pick them all. Whenever you had a picker, it wasn't able by a hand get all around that stack and pick them all. Then you pull a bale up there, had another little while, well, then you bring them down, you know, on your pitchfork, you know, and feed it to the bale.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's been a good many years ago.
That's been a good many years ago. But that was better than just handling loose hay.
That's right. Oh, yeah. A whole lot better than putting it in the stacks and making a fence around it. You don't let the mule, you know, eat it down and keep falling down. That's what the old way it used to do.
Yeah. We used to be get up and we'd pull a wagon full of loose hay up there and drop a needle down there and pull it up, pull it back.
That's right, in the barn.
Trip it way back there.
Well, man, Rush, you know, had the last one in operation out here, south side.
Yeah.
At that, Dr. Lee's farm right now, what the name of it, the stud farm, you know, out, you know where old man Ed Rush's home was. That fella bought it and he sold it, you know. Murdis sold it to this old fella, then he sold it to Dr. Lee.
You see,
he's a veterinarian in Miami, I think. The doctor.
Yeah. I hear people talk about old man Rush, and I never knew him.
Well, I think everybody just about knew it and knew him in two or three counties.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
the man Ed Rush.
He died before I got here.
And they had the old Lloyd family.
Yeah.
And I guess there's only, I guess two of the girls living, all living.
Oh, really?
Now, one of the girls went in the county home demonstration agent, Allie Lee. Did you know her?
No.
She hadn't been there for about four or five years.
Yeah. Well, how far back did he go?
Well, man, Ed, know what he was back here when we were going to school in 20.
Oh, he was thriving back there.
Yeah, he big farmer. Well, did you know old man Brown?
No.
Billy Brown, daddy. You know Billy Brown, I guess.
I don't want to see him.
Well, his daddy, you know, one of them old timers. Used to be big farmer. That's like old man Guess used to be a big farmer.
Yeah.
Not Mortica. Mortica was a bird man, but
yeah.
Old man.
Well, let me tell you, I remember I used to hear Preacher Gordon talk about coming down here and hunting birds with Rush.
Right, that's right. Quail hunting.
Quail
hunting. And he used to be a big fox hunter, too. The old man would take that pickup and ride and hunt fox all night long.
Uh-huh.
And they got over at my place one time and they run the fox up there and they treed them and raised and came. And I got my little double barrel 16 gauge shotgun. And some high-powered shell. I might have had buckshot.
Yeah.
They had him in a flashlight. And they'd parked the thing around Wolf Pond Prairie there, in other words. And they run the fox around the prairie, and he come on around there and treat him in a hickory tree up there in front of my house. And that, all that fuss, in other words, you know, I didn't know what it was. And I figured it was a coon or something.
Yeah.
And I got my flashlight and a little double-barrel gun and three or four shells. And went up there, and I saw his eyes, and I wheeled him out, and he hit the ground, you know what I'm saying? I got a limb chunked
on him. And they didn't want him. They wanted it.
No, man, Mr. Rush, why, he acted like he wanted to shoot me or kill me.
He, yeah.
That's right. Because I killed that fox.
Yeah, he put out with you, wasn't he?
He was. I'll try to never forget him.
Well, what was he? A great big one?
I'm glad you didn't give me very much this time.
I did that on purpose, Everett. I've got a lot more.
I know it, but I'm glad you didn't, because I hate to waste it. And if you'd have given me a lot more, I might not have eaten any of it. That wouldn't be nice, would it? What do you call that? I wouldn't show me. I believe that word is adequate, isn't it, Peggy? Isn't that right? Adequate.
Well, we're just home folks, and I thought I
really.
Well,
that's the way I feel among you people, and I've been knowing you too much. But like to be around type people that you all are.
You had people like Rush then, and they were. You see, they were just all over the country, weren't they?
That's right. Right you are. That was a style in that way.
And they didn't have to be money men.
No, that's right. But they got along and seemed to get along pretty good. In other words, raised a family, in other words, and had plenty to eat. Always had plenty of meat and sausage, sugar cane, syrup, potatoes.
Yeah.
Any farm, you know, had pretty good acreage of beans and squash and cucumber and things.
As long as you didn't owe anybody, it was all right.
That's right.
And he, did he have, how much property did he have?
About 400, I'd say 400 or 500 acres.
Yeah.
Brown had more than he did. Old man,
yeah.
Randolph Brown, Billy's
yeah.
daddy. And they divided up with the girls when I asked Billy. He was in that restaurant. Afternoon yesterday, I was running down there working on the fence. Run out west. I didn't get through it. I wanted to get around that side. In other words, I went down and I got a sandwich and a cup of coffee. And Billy was in there drinking coffee. And I asked him, I said, tell me who, did you sell that piece of property or rent it or lease it or what? He said, oh, I belong to Louise, my sister. And says, she leased it that for a price. Says, why is her? She got the money behind it.
Yeah.
Price up on
yeah.
the prairie. I don't know whether you heard of him or know him or not. But he said, I think she got the 5 or 10 year lease. But he said, I haven't seen her ask anything about it. But they got that Levy Lake. When you go out of Levy Lake on old, they call that old Wakahoochee Road, I believe, or something.
Yeah.
It's on the right hand side. And that new fence, wild fence. I said, it cost him $1,000 fence that. I said, yeah, I think it did. But they got the money. But he said he never had asked Louise, you know, what she got for it or how many years they had or nothing. But he got his all back down, you know, where he put that corn. He used to plant 200 or 300 acres of corn, you know, back there. And then out on that Dungarvan Road where he planted it and corn, got orange grove, you know, out there and got a big one out there, too.
Now, let me see. My mind skipped. Who were we talking about?
That's Billy Brown. Billy, that's his part of the Ayers estate.
Oh, yes.
And his mother still living in an old big two-story house.
But now that was his sisters.
But that was his sisters and the two of those girls. One of them went to school and graduated with me. One they called Margaret.
Yeah.
And Margaret married a northern boy. But Louis married a local fella. I think he's an insurance man or something. And they live in Gainesville. They have a home in Gainesville.
Well,
but Margaret lived up country. Billy said, I bet you don't know who that is sitting over at the table. I said, I've been looking at her. I said, that's your sister Margaret. I said, it is. I went over to see her. They hadn't, you know, started serving. They had a 2-seat table together. And we graduated and raised up together and kids and all. And she jumped up on the table, you know, and hugged my neck, you know, before all the husband and all the other people at the thing, in other words.
Yeah.
But it's been years since I've seen her.
Is Billy's mother still living?
Yeah. She's getting a little age on her. I think she's about, she's 10 years older than Aunt Mary, so I'd make her 87. You said you was what, close to 90?
No, I'm 87.
You 87?
I'm going on 80.
Well, that's right, 88. My aunt, she's 77, and Miss Brown is 10 years older than she is.
Mm-hmm.
That's Miss Whittington.
Mm-hmm.
That's Dick's mother.
Well, you know, I don't know any of these fellas you're talking about. Now, I was out there, Dick Whittington. Is he a little puny-looking fella?
No, he's 6 foot, dark black eyes, dark hair.
Well, I got a hold of the wrong man, didn't I?
He's tall, he's tall, and yet he's big as Buddy Huff. He went for Buddy Huff.
Good Lord. Well, who in the world are you ringing about that I saw? I tell you what, I was out there, they was making syrup out that Gertrude. And he walked up there, and they were had the tractor there pulling the place of the mule. And he walked up there, and they got the little cup and started drinking juice.
And he was a Whittington?
I thought it was. Maybe
well, that must have been Dow. Dow Whittington.
Maybe it's somebody else. But I kept thinking that was
Dick?
Dick
Richard?
Mm-hmm. So, you see.
That Dow that married Whittington's wife's sister. I imagine.
Yeah. And he was a little fella, but he talked like he knew everybody.
Well, now he knows everybody, too. But he's pretty tall, and I wouldn't be skinny, thin.
Well.
And he's older than I am. Dow's older than I am. Dow's 62 years old.
Looks a little younger than that. But yeah, I remember. But he talked like he just knew everybody.
Then Dow, he knows everybody. He worked sawmill and only lived over about 15 years.
Yeah. Well, now, does Dick get out much now, or is he just out there dying down at the office all the time?
He stays in that office pretty well, I think. I don't think he gets out too much. He might, once in a while, check on the road and see about how the fruit coming or how the loading is or something like that kind.
Yeah. But he don't have to be out very much.
He's the main telephone man. He does the world and world talking on the telephone.
Oh, does he?
Continue the business.
What?
Now the watermelon seed, he's on that continue.
But, you know, that's what I kept thinking about with a fella like Cedric Smith. He'd get all that equipment over there, and he'd get to the point where he won't be able to get out. He'll have to sit at the desk and buy all the time.
That's right.
And book all that soybeans and all.
His wife, he got her doing lots of that.
Well, a lot of that you can't delegate. You just got to do it. Now, Whitehurst, his boys are in the office.
Yes. Well, he has an extra bookkeeper.
Yeah.
He got one bookkeeper in
there. Yeah.
His name's Smith, too, Oka Smith.
So all
we
those
school together,
all those big operations running to death for each
played day. Ball together. Oakley's a bookkeeper for him.
Yeah.
But each one of them had a certain job to do. Whitehurst said, boy, they do a certain job. And no man's in and out.
Yeah.
He wasn't at the barbecue. He and his wife had gone to Ohio with her people. And they didn't fly this time. They went in her car.
Yeah. Well, now, I didn't quite get
they
that straight.
Cadillac.
That was your cousin's daughter, Johnny Mixon's daughter.
Yeah, is she going overseas? Mm-hmm.
That and her was
husband,
her boyfriend, or is that her husband?
Her husband. They've been married, I guess a year and a half.
Well, now who
if
is
he'd have stayed, if he'd have stayed another 3 or 4 months, he'd have been out for good, just like that DeVardo boy at Orange Lake and married Beamer's daughter. He's out for good.
Yeah.
And he's going to school and take up some trade, learn how to do something. His
well,
wife is a bookkeeper, but she's selling her car and quitting the job at the telephone office, and they're both leaving and going to Germany. And he got to be over there now and then, I think, another year.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, now, this boy, where did he come from?
That's Johnny.
Uh-huh. Johnny's,
you mean his son-in-law?
Yeah.
He's from Miami, originally, his daddy in other words, and they sold that place and built a trailer. And they was out there doing a little cotton work like Willie, you know, done with you here, changing some lights, or putting some old plugs, I think, in the wall, cutting some, because he asked me about my keyhole saw.
Yeah.
And those people bought it, they're from West Palm Beach. They carry you home on top of the hill.
Yeah. Well, now,
on this Dunn, you know where the Dunn Garvin Road is at, cuts off at Iron Lake to the trade winds.
Yeah.
And before you get to the other 329 at the house on the left.
Yeah.
And they had it all bulldozed. And she wanted me to fence it when I was fencing something for that Cromwell boy working up at the university. He's teaching some kind of classes or something.
Yeah.
Richard Cromwell.
Yeah.
Teaching the university.
He bought a place out there.
Bought 90 acres out there on the corner from Willie.
Yeah.
You know, right on, after you go on the road and hit this road, it's right on that side.
Now, what's this boy's name who is going to Vietnam?
Stanley Carrier. Carrier.
Carrier.
Carrier. Yeah. And the man sold his place, and I was in this lady from West Palm Beach. She's up there today, and she's supervising there. That's where he was this morning.
Well, and they were having a barbecue for him.
Send him away. That's a giveaway, because I told some of them, said, well, that didn't get any taste. And I said, well, I don't know whether it was his people or his people and her together, I reckon, inviting the people, and I reckon you have to give an answer where you're going to be there or not, see?
Yeah.
And they said, if you didn't hear from me, then you know what I'm going to be. I said, well, I told one of the Johnny's other girls, I want about a half a cup of that, please, man.
This is all, this is not ideal coffee, but
you
drink it, can't you?
Yes, sir. Want some more?
I got a little bit. I'll get some in a minute.
But,
Well, now, how did it go? You guys have plenty of barbecue?
No, they ate the meat up. had a hog dressed 230 pounds, and they said they wouldn't be about 75, but 150. And my job was making the coffee.
Yeah.
And they have a big urn, you see.
Yeah.
And it takes a pound of coffee, and I would make it real coffee. Now, I like coffee. I don't like no branch water or restaurant coffee.
Yeah.
I want coffee. Yeah, I can put water in it if it's not, you know, if it's too strong, I can put water in it. See?
Yeah.
If it's hot, well, I put cold water.
Yeah.
But
and then
they couldn't find us. I think Johnny's, that girl's sister, older than she is, she was supposed to bring the coffee. Mine was light bread.
Yeah.
Two giant loaves of bread, you know, and somebody else, you know, had two giant loaves, and some of them had a bowl, had to bring salad, some pickle, some of them, you know, these 49, 69, several packages of potato chips, and this girl, you know, wife, she was in the family, you know, that's her sister, you know, and her husband going to Vietnam, while she, her job was bring the coffee. Well, all she had in her wood was half a pound of mackerel house, I believe what it was. A drip, you know.
For 150 people?
For 150. She thought that'd be enough. Wasn't going to be for 75, but it's 150.
Oh.
And so then we went in Whitehurst at Lodge, you know, that's I reckon that place cost $60,000, you know, his lodge, what's called a lodge. He got a living room out of all these deer heads, and there wasn't a mantle and all that, and this floor, you know, it's what you call it, rock looking stuff, you know, all over.
Mm-hmm.
They say it cost $10,000 or $12,000 just to have one room.
Now, is that where they had it?
That's where they had it. But we had it under the shed, done with a barbecue, but a lot of them went in. They got television, got moose, elk, and everything else all around the wall, and souvenirs. And they got a big table in there and a big kitchen dining room to wash the things, in other words.
Did he just let anybody go out there and have cardio?
The cabinet, in other words, they got the wall cabinet, in other words, the start around here and the cabinet go all around that way and on the bottom the same way. So one of the Whitehurst boys was there and he said, let's look for coffee. And we looked and everything there, and I don't know, we opened drawers and opened the door, you know, some door and some drawers,
right.
And we couldn't find no coffee, anything at all. And plenty of other kind of stuff, in other words,
yeah,
for you, but no coffee. Then he said, well, you have to just make a half a yarn. I said, well, it won't do right with a half. You know how them yearns are, they just won't work right. It's something, knock off too quick. So I filled the thing about half, and then I weighed on them, in other words, because Johnny's wife and her cousin, she's a cousin of mine, Johnny's a cousin, kin on both sides on that family. See, Johnny is Willie's wife's a brother. See, I'm kin to Willie. Then the girl he married on my daddy's side, she's a cousin. She was a Reynolds.
You mean
Fairfield, Johnny's wife, Violet. She's a Reynolds. So she, on my daddy's side, kin to me, and then on my mama's side, I'm kin to the others, see? So I'm kin on both sides. In fact, they married cousins.
Yeah.
In other words, I don't know, about third cousin, I think. They married cousins.
They all let you make the barbecue.
And Johnny, in other words, he said he'd cook it, in other words, said he could work on it. They eat up that big pork, in other words, and gave out a coffee, and I said, well, they'll have to drink iced tea. But I served there for a good long while. When we only had the regular coffee cup, I give about half, between a half and two-thirds. Some of them, you know, wanted to put other ingredients in it, some didn't. And after served them and the line broke up, I'd hunger, of course, I'd always sample the beef, I mean the pork, and it was good eating.
By the time you got through serving.
But I said, well, then, I said, it's getting kind of low, and I got me a half a cup. While I was waiting, in other words, then I said, I'm going to get me another cup and set it down and get in line and get me some meat and some pork and beans, in other words, those beans and bacon strips and bread, you know, and the potato chips and pickles. And I had tossed salad, you know, these little two or three of the little things you're gouging on, pick them up with and put it on your plate. And I got me a helping of that, in other words, and said, I don't know, and enjoyed myself.
And
somebody called me, in other words, and said, the coffee's out. I said, well, you'll have to drink tea or water. And some of the teenagers, I said, well, there's a water spigot up there, and there's one at the end of the table here, and one in the kitchen.
But you got through.
But I got my coffee.
Time to get your.
Get my coffee, in other words.
And get a little barbecue.
And get some barbecue. But what was left is two or three pieces of ribs.
Yeah.
And I asked Johnny, and he said, well, he said, that would all fit in and knock it out. I said, them people ate something.
You know what? Talking about barbecue and meat. I tell you what I miss the most. You mentioned ribs, made me think of it.
Yeah.
Is a roast, Everett. Just a good piece of meat that you can roast, and it'll be juicy. Now that's what I miss the most.
Well, that's what they had. They had that up there. He had it.
That's
had
the
it good.
Barbecue.
You know, I'd say 3 or 4 pound chunks. Maybe four. I know 4 pound chunks.
Yeah.
They barbecued and they were cooked all the way inside. Cause you
yeah.
tell you know how it's done
well,
by putting a fork in it. See?
I'd like to know where they got it.
Where
I can't
know.
Find
how
it.
Does he
and
do?
To tell me, in other words, that boy, he's got it. In other words, that's my niece's husband. Now she married. And he going to university, he going to, wants to be a criminal lawyer. I said, you ought to go ahead and be a CPA. He's working with Standard Oil Kentucky, in other words, and making you know, about $15,000 a year. But now he wants to be a criminal lawyer, so he's going to study law. But now then, while he's opened up a barbecue place in Gainesville, he's doing so well until he had to drop out of school a semester, in other words, to take care of his business. He want me to come up there and run the same farm. I said, I can run it, but I don't care anything about the barbecue business. I said, I got going over there and helping with the potato and I'm coming back and I'm going to work the hay deal. Maybe later on in the fall, I may go back to the university with Dr. Cunha, in other words. But they say his meat's real good. Now, it's on what I call Second Avenue. You know where Second Avenue in Gainesville?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of off the street a little way, but you can maybe see it. It's not too far down. It's kind of around the corner of another building there, seems to me like. If before you get out,